John Hagan is a solicitor at DPP Law who represents the victims of police misconduct. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Would you like to see more police carrying tasers?
On a personal level, I'm reluctant to say yes to that because I see on a day-to-day basis through my work the results of when taser use goes wrong, and what I'm concerned about is that we don't romanticise this this weapon as some kind of Star Trek stun gun with no consequences. It is potentially a dangerous weapon, and I'm happy to if I could share with you some of the cases that I've worked on where I've seen tasers be incorrectly used.
Please do.
That's what makes me cautious about seeing more of them. So we all know high profile cases when they come into the news. Like earlier in the year, the tragic death of footballer Dalian Atkinson. But what people don't see are the type of the more lower level cases, which nevertheless are very serious for the people involved, which haven't resulted in fatalities, but serious consequences nonetheless. Recently, my firm has handled just as a small sample a case of a man tasered in the back in his own house after showing no violence to officers. A man tasered repeatedly who was suffering from mental health issues. And a man involved in a minor dispute, with a police officer in his own house, not out in the street, but the dispute centered around whether or not he had knocked a wing mirror on a police car and ultimately resulted in him being tasered repeatedly. The IPCC in particular have investigated that latter case because the officer who administered the taser shots, as I say, to this man over a relatively innocuous incident in his own home, the officer in interview afterwards said, "Oh well, using a taser gun is just like putting your hands on somebody. It's low level, it's no big thing." That's literally the description he used. And of course, using an electric stun gun to deliver a voltage of that force into somebody's body to temporarily paralyze and incapacitate them is not like laying your hands on somebody.
But you're not really giving us the context behind some of these scenarios. I mean, for example, the case where you said the police just kind of went into someone's house and tasered a bloke in the back. What was the build-up for that? The police don't just walk into someone's house and taser someone in the back. There must have been a threat of violence. There must have been a fear that the police had.
Well, the context of that situation was that they'd come to the house looking for looking for the man's son. He wasn't there, but they are of the same name. They're obviously of a different description because this is the father of the son. And so it was a case of mistaken identity. And the worst that my client did is say, "Look, it's not me, go away," turn his back on the officers, and he was tasered in the back.
But that was probably because the police were concerned he was turning around to potentially get a weapon and use it on them.
I don't think you can say that, but that even the police officers who were involved in the case, I don't believe that was their evidence.
John, many people listening to this program, they're just going to be scratching their head when they hear you speak, because the police don't walk around just tasering people willy-nilly. If you are stopped by the police, if you encounter the police, if you cooperate with the police, if you talk to them in a reasonable and normal way, if you answer their questions, if you don't try and hide things from them or act in a way that is not normal, then you're not going to get tasered. The only people that get tasered, whether it is because they deserve it or not, are people who do not behave in a normal way and do not behave in a reasonable way.
No, I completely disagree with that. And you simply can't put a blanket assertion like that about cases which you don't know the facts about. These are cases which we've handled, which we have won, where compensation being awarded, where the IPCC, as I said in that first case, have intervened and spoken highly critically of the officer and have said the police force involved have to improve their levels of training. This isn't just me telling you this. These are cases where the IPCC have had to intervene. And I'm afraid that there are cases where police officers do use taser guns when they simply shouldn't.
As with anything, there will always be mistakes. There are mistakes made in every single job. I mean, I'm sure that you as a solicitor from time to time have made a mistake in your working career. We all make mistakes.
But mistakes don't tend to result in people being...
Well, no, because you don't do a dangerous job. but the police do do a dangerous job. So obviously, when they make a mistake, unfortunately, things may well have stronger consequences. But when you look at how many times tasers save people's lives, when you look at how many times tasers make our society safer, then surely we should be embracing this tool.
Well, I mean, you say that they make society safer. I'm giving you examples of if it's used correctly and appropriately, yes, it will make things safer. I'm just explaining to you that, you know, you've asked me on to give my my insight, bring to the table what I can see that perhaps people don't see day to day, because the type of cases I've told you about don't get reported in the news, but there are lots and lots of them. I mean, shall I tell you what I think is the problem here, and what I think the taser gun issue is a bit of a distraction. I think that overall, problem that policing faces is not whether or not officers have taser guns. It's the massive cuts to the police budget that's been made in the last 6 years. A 25% cut to force budgets in the last parliament. Police officer numbers, in terms of the actual serving police officers, down 20,000.
I don't doubt that all of that is an issue as well. However, it's not what we're discussing this morning. We're talking about tasers, and we're talking the fact that 71% of the British public who've been surveyed have said that they, unlike you, would like to see more and more police officers carrying a taser. Now, are those 71% of the public, are they wrong?
Well, I am not saying that they are wrong. I didn't say that I am opposed to police officers carrying taser guns. I'm trying to explain to you that I can see cases that perhaps the general public can't see, where police officers do misuse tasers, and it is completely wrong for you to characterise all taser users.
Well, yes, but
basically, because what you said, Jonathan, is if you get tasered, you deserved it, and I have to completely disagree with that. We know that, you know, that is not correct.
Well, you normally deserve it, don't you? I mean, there may be, I said to you, we all make mistakes in our work. Of course, will be sometimes where mistakes are made. However, even if mistakes are made with a taser, unlike a gun, generally people don't die. Obviously, you talked about the recent case of the former footballer who died. But generally, people who are tasered do not die. People who are shot very often die, but people who are tasered do not.
It's not just about whether people are killed or not, though. If you have not done anything to justify taser use, as the examples that I gave you that was the case, then you simply shouldn't be being electrocuted in your own home by an officer misusing a gun in that manner.
But John, for one second, imagine the police come to your house for some reason. Can you foresee any possible scenario where the police would feel the need to taser you?
No, I can't.
No,
but
exactly.
The people who were tasered, in the examples that I've given, they didn't foresee that possibility either. And yet it did happen. If you know, it's not just about me, Jonathan. It can be about an officer who's perhaps not had the right training, not had the right support. And this is where my point about officer numbers being down is relevant, because with less officers, they're under more stress, and they're being given taser guns. Are they being trained properly in their use? Are they being supported by numbers of colleagues? Perhaps we need less taser guns and more police officers, so they are interconnected. I mean, if you want to hear more from me on this point, I've got an interesting comment that was made by Janet Hills, who's the president of the National Black Police Association, in the summer, which I think is a relevant voice to be heard as well.
Go on.
Okay. Well, this was following the incident with Daly and Atkinson, and okay, I'm a lawyer. This is a police officer speaking now. I'll quote from an article that she wrote. She said, "As a serving officer, I know what it is like to face a man armed with a knife. I've seen the dreadful consequences of knife crime in our communities. What I want is for taser to be used to reduce the number of tragic incidents, not increase them. We must train officers to understand behavior, consider all options, and give the vital aftercare that is needed." Now, that's a police officer's voice. And I think, you know, let's listen to that. What I'm arguing for is I'm saying people are not seeing some of the lower level, but nevertheless serious incidents involving taser misuse. And that says to me...
But in focusing... Look, and John, I accept, you're a solicitor. You make your money from defending people who've been tasered, you would argue, incorrectly. You make your money from those kinds of cases. But you have to also surely accept that in the grand scheme of things, our police officers out there are incredibly brave. They do a dangerous job, a job that you probably don't have the guts to do. I probably don't have the guts to do. They are out there every single day dealing with, very often, the scum of society who are prepared to do the unthinkable to members of the public and indeed the police. They put themselves in danger, and the taser has made our streets safer. Over the years since the taser was introduced, our streets are so much safer. We have enabled our police to protect us better.
Well, Jonathan, the general trend of declining crime, which I agree that certainly has happened, is a 25-year decline, which does actually go back to before the introduction of tasers. So I certainly don't think you can just say, well, it's because taser guns have been available. And as I keep saying, I'm not saying I don't want police officers to have taser guns. I'm saying I see situations where they misuse them. I want police officers to be properly trained and to try to minimise those issues. And you can't just keep taking extreme examples and saying, he was a scumbag, he got tasered, therefore all people who are tasered are scumbags, because that's what you're implying, and it's simply not true. Some people are innocent victims, and I'm just trying to highlight that, and so that we don't just simply say, yeah, taser guns, great, give all the officers taser guns, and that covers up, that's a panacea to cover up the fact that we've got a police force that is stretched by having its numbers substantially reduced.
Let me bring Norman Brennan in, who's a retired police officer of 31 years, and a leading campaigner on law and order in Britain, and he's been campaigning for all police to carry tasers for years. Morning to you, Norman.
Yeah, good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. What do you make of John's argument that actually mistakes are made by the police, people are incorrectly tasered, and people suffer as a result of it, and that in itself demonstrates that the police cannot always be trusted with this weapon?
Well, there are the odd occasions, and when I say odd occasions, very, very few, a handful. And the reason why you're discussing this today with your contributor at the other side of the fence is because he defends them and takes them to court. The police will always be answerable. And when he says that they need to be properly trained, let me tell you this, that every police officer that is given a taser is appropriately trained. They're told that the consequences of them using that will be down to them, because it has to be reasonable and it has to be proportionate. And also, the only thing I will agree with the other side on, to be quite honest here, is the huge cuts in police numbers. We lost 20,000 police officers in the last 4 years, and it does put a lot of strain on officers. However, that strain is not such, because police officers, don't forget, are members of the public. They're not robocops. They're normal human beings. And I'll also tell you that in the past year, there's been 20,000 of my colleagues have been assaulted. And when we talk about crime going up and down, and goodness knows what, one of the crimes that really concerns us is knife crime. And in the past 2 years, knife crime has not gone down. It's gone up nationally by 9%, and in the Metropolitan Police area by 16%. These are the types of criminals that we face day in and day out. And the choice is this. And when we hear about the odd pensioner or the odd child that we have tasered, it hits national headlines. But I will tell you this, as a person that knows all about policing and represents the whole police service, is it doesn't matter whether you're a child, you're a pensioner, or whether you're a bodybuilder. If you've got a knife, or if you pose a serious imminent threat, that officer's life or serious injury to that officer is likely. And that officer has a choice. He either gets beaten up, he either gets stabbed, and the public see that we can't protect ourselves, so live in further fear, or we're able to protect ourselves and use all the equipment in the box. If somebody with a firearm, our firearms officers will be called, and there's a likelihood if they don't put the firearm down and they pose imminent threat to police or the public, they will be shot, and there's a chance that they will die. Fortunately, with tasers, we haven't had a report yet where the inquest has said that taser killed that individual. It's normally another health-related problem. So there's some of the myths that I want to put right.
John, Norman giving a very eloquent response to this idea that that tasers are in some way dangerous and are not a positive thing to have out on the streets.
Yeah, okay, well, I absolutely listen to what he has to say and completely understand the situation of police officers faced with, you know, dangerous people with knives. As I say, I keep coming back to this point, I'm not trying to say I don't want police officers to have taser guns. I'm not saying taser guns are lethal weapons in the sense of they should be banned. That's not the point. The point I'm making is that let's not romanticise them, and let's concentrate on making sure that if the police are going to have more taser guns, let's increase the budget. Let's make sure police officers are trained to use them, because I'm telling you that, yeah, absolutely, there are situations where tasers are helpful, and there are, and absolutely there are situations where tasers are misused, and the more guns there are, then the more cases of misuse there will be. So I think that's important. And the Mr. Bettison said, you know, officers are appropriately trained. Yeah, I accept that. But I gave you an example, as I say, involving an IPCC investigation, where an officer who'd apparently been appropriately trained thought that tasering someone was like putting his hands on them, and it was a minor, inconsequential event. Now, clearly, the training didn't work for that officer.
You are talking about a handful of examples. You seem to flip-flop about whether we need to be trained or not. I can assure you that whenever I've done baton courses, and I was the officer that launched the side handle baton course in 1993, and we got them. And the reason we got them is because people like me ended up with stab wounds in our chests, and we cried, we bled, we hurt, we were off sick, we have stress. That affects our colleagues because they see us hurt. They come and visit us in hospital, and sometimes they come to our funerals. So what I decided to do is to say, if the public see police officers being shot, maimed, injured, hurt, and having to leave their jobs, what does that give hope to the public for, if we can't protect ourselves? So the long and the short is, you will always have the odd occasion, even when we shoot someone, when there's a firearm local to that body, etc., there will always be a massive outcry. But I'm speaking to you about the 99.9% of police officers that carry a taser, that act responsible, and they actually do save their lives. They deal with the situation, they don't kill the suspect, and at the end of the day, we then put them before the courts, which is what the public will want. On the odd occasion, you make your claim that we go in and we just shoot somebody. I don't know a police officer, and I know thousands, who would go out with a taser and for no reason, because they're bored, taser someone. That officer will have to answer for why he or she tasered an individual. And the reason we do taser someone is because they're not compliant, they pose a serious imminent risk, and we then look back to our training and we say, please sir, please madam, stand back, calm down. And the sad reality is many people are on drink, many people are on drugs, and there are sadly some that hate the police. And whenever we go around the house, it won't be just them, it'll be their mum, their dad, their brother, the rest of the family that often hate the police as well, will add to that imminent threat. We have a choice. As I said, we get beaten up, we end up in hospital, we end up being stabbed, we lose our jobs, or we stand on behalf of ourselves and the public on law and order, and we protect ourselves in whatever way that we feel is rightly and appropriate at that time. And if we do go over the edge and we've acted inappropriately, it will be us that will answer in front of the Independent Police Complaints Authority, or on the very, very odd occasion, in front of a court. And I'm afraid we're prepared to take that risk to save our lives and keep the public safe.
Norman, can I put a text that's come to you? Because you talk about the side-handled baton, which I guess many of us in layman's terms would refer to as a truncheon. I know it's a bit different to the old-fashioned policeman's truncheon. But Keith says, do the police still carry truncheons? Surely bashing someone with a truncheon is a better alternative to tasering.
Well, we do carry side handle batons. Well, in general, they're long, they're called asps, and they're different sizes. And yes, they're used as well. I mean, we have to deal with the situation, and we have got a bag of tools now, much more than what we had 30 or 40 years ago, of protective equipment. And sometimes, like you'll see at student demonstrations, we're not going to start tasering hundreds or thousands of individuals, but what we will have is long asps and side handle batons, where we can at least put our shields out and put the baton behind us and say to anybody or groups of people, stand back, because you're posing a threat to us. We are police officers, we're in uniform, we're protecting society, and your behavior is such that you're not acting or demonstrating in a reasonable fashion. It's more than that. And then, yes, some people will be struck. And again, just like your contributor to the other side, there will be lawyers only too eager to try and get compensation for people that have often cause a threat to somebody. And unfortunately, it wasn't those that was actually causing the threat, but a police officer, in fear of his or his colleague's life, has actually struck the wrong person.
John, let me put that yeah. point to you, because and this is something that many people will be thinking, I'm sure. Of course, there will be, unfortunately, a handful of mistakes. Across the course of a year, if you allow the police, as with anything, there will be a handful of mistakes, genuine mistakes, where actually, when you look at all the details, you think that's a shame that that police officer acted in that way. It's a great shame that that person ended up being tasered. But there must be cases, and I bet you won't admit to it, but there must be cases where you've defended someone who's going after the police for compensation for being tasered. And actually, when you look at the build-up to it, you must think to yourself, well, do you know what, deep down I can understand why the police acted in that way, why they responded in that way.
Well, that's a very loaded question, isn't it, Jonathan? And I think I'm being attacked by both of you at the moment on quite unfair grounds here. You're trying to insinuate, well, you know, you represent these people, they're all after money, you know, they're all no good scumbags. I mean, I don't think that is not a balanced debate that we're having when you're making those sort of assertions. Look, as a lawyer, I handle a lot of cases. We get approached by many people, and those who we think have not got a good case, we will turn them away. We pursue the ones which we believe have got a good case, and they will succeed if ultimately the court upholds their version of events, or often also the IPCC, or occasionally the police internal disciplinary investigations. So this isn't just a case of what I think; it's what the balance of the evidence is. It's what the truth is.
Norman, surely you would accept that John does a good job when defending genuine victims who have faced either police brutality or police who have been far too eager to use a taser when they shouldn't.
I just want to say very quickly before I answer that question, is nobody's attacking John at all. What I'm doing is I'm giving a police view. What you would never see in the media, unfortunately, BBC Three Counties and other outlets that I deal with do give me the opportunity, because often the police are on front page newspapers. You never hear outside, because the police can never win. And we're bound because of the Independent Police Complaints Authority not to speak out. When I was a serving officer, I did. I'm retired, I do now. But in answer to your question, Jonathan, every police officer, which is what I said earlier on in the interview, is answerable for his or her actions. There will, on occasions, sadly, be police officers that have acted outside the bounds of what their training was. That officer will be answerable for those actions. If it means being disciplined, or if it means appearing in front of a court, then who am I to say that the criminal justice shouldn't work for all? It does work for all. I'm here today to tell you about the 99.9% of men and women that are just members of the public that do the most difficult of jobs under the gravest of dangerous circumstances and are entitled to protect themselves and their family and go home at the end of the day after their job. Because that's what it is. Okay. It's a job, but a very dangerous one.
All right.
Can I just say one more thing in response to that, please?
Yeah, go on.
I hear what Mr. Betterson says, and I just want to say that there are people out there, innocent people, who do suffer police brutality against them, and they equally are entitled to have their voice heard, and that is what I've been trying to get across this morning. Thank you.
And thank you very much indeed. And John, even though you feel like you're being attacked, you have had lots of support coming in as well. I'll read some of that out. We'll get to some of the calls in a second. There's John Hagen, who's a solicitor at DPP Law, who represent victims of police misconduct. Also, Norman Brennan is a retired police officer of 31 years and a leading campaigner on law and order in Britain. OC says, how does an innocent blind man tapping his way home with a white stick represent a threat that required him to be tasered in his back? Sharon says, I think the police are not always safe. I have had personal experience of the police being untrustworthy. Some police are not of the character or training to have a taser gun, which is there and easy to use. The training and character of the police who hold them needs to be assessed. Thank you very much. Rachel in Western Turville says, perhaps tasers are a good idea, but with the current cuts and total underinvestment in the police force, as with all of our public services, I can't imagine that there'll be decent support and training provided. You'll get a lot of unwarranted use as a result. Tasers are a big deal, even if the people don't die from them. Thank you. Well, I'll take more of your calls in the next half hour. Would you like to see more police carrying tasers?